Okay, so we are in a series about seasonal stressors. Lauren, our counselor, opened us up last week by talking kind of in general about why this season is so stressful for us. And she talked about this idea of our brains being in survival mode when we're taken out of one group and our groups are kind of all mixed up. And we take our safety from the cues of our group. And so she's saying that this is a stressful time because all of that, what that is telling us we're safe or we're unsafe, is kind of being shuffled. But if we want to maintain our peace, our safety and security and value has to come from something other than the people and the things that are around us. So we're going to be building on that for the next 3 weeks. Every November, we try and do something that focuses on our mental health, because coming up to the holidays is a hard time for a lot of people. And we're calling this series the most wonderful time of the year, because there are so many good things to embrace and love, time with family. The seasons are changing. We're spending more time indoors. I love that because you get to like read and feel cozy. We just get to focus on things that are different than the things that we get to focus on during the summer and spring. Everything kind of slows down, hopefully. But if we have all of these things that are stressing us, we don't have the opportunity to focus on the things that bring us joy and happiness. So a few years ago, during one of these mental health series, we talked about the Psalms, and there are three different types of Psalms. There was a Psalm of orientation, where everything is right in the world, and Marquette got to preach that one, and she sang, "The hills are alive with the sound of music." And then the second sermon in that series was the Psalms of Lament. And I got to preach that sermon. And then the third sermon in that series was Reorientation, where everything is good again. And Marquette got to preach that sermon. So today's reminding me a little bit about that, a little bit of that, because we're talking about money, and I get to talk about that. That's how I feel about it. All right. Money is a hard thing to talk about. Anybody excited that we're talking about money this morning? Sharon, thanks. Sharon's always excited. No one wants to talk about money because it is enshrouded in the shoulds, right? So everyone tells us things that we should do with money or not do with money, and then that becomes internalized. And then we have guilt and we have shame because we should or should not do these things. And then we are and are not doing them. And then we have unmet expectations and they have unmet expectations. And so we just don't talk about it. Right? That's not something anybody wants to like poke. But the Bible talks a lot about money, actually, more than almost any other topic. I Googled verses about money, and I found a list of 100, which was not an exhaustive list. And it was just verse after verse after verse of this is how money should be in your life, or this is how money should not be in your life. So in this sermon, there's going to be something that applies to everyone, but not all of it applies to all of us, because we're all in different spots. Whether you have a little or a lot, or feel a lot of stress or don't feel any stress about money, something is going to apply to you. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to do a very practical sermon today about what the Bible says about money. We're going to start with a feel-good story. So I have a good friend that I've known for about 5 years, and he is falling in love. And it's like the icky, like they're so cute, it's gross, kind of like never thought I would meet this person kind of love. And this friend of mine, he's a really interesting person because all through the time that I've known him, he has these hobbies and he goes like deep into whatever he's into. So he had a bread making phase where he learned everything there was to learn about baking bread. And we got to benefit from that. And that was awesome. He had a pasta making phase where he learned everything there was to learn about making homemade pasta. And actually the first time that he told me he had learned to make pasta, I said, "Oh, good." Because I thought he meant he learned to boil noodles. But I didn't know him very well at that point. So whatever he's into. Oh, and he learned how to find planets and stars with a telescope that he bought. And he would climb Stone Mountain all the time. And he would just find all of these different galaxies. And so he got really into that. And whatever it is that he's learning about, you hear all about it. He's thinking about it all the time. And so right now, it's all about this girl, right? He is in love with her, and she is awesome. So I'm not saying it's not due. They are so great together. But he is falling in love, and he thinks about her all the time. When she's not with him, what would she be thinking about this thing that he's doing? Or what is she going to like to do later? Like, it's just a constant, right? Like, that's what it is to fall in love with someone. You're just always, like, thinking about them. So don't love money, right? It's not about just being greedy. But when you act like you love something, it's on your mind all the time, right? You think about it. How does this affect this constantly, right? Don't love money. 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." And Ecclesiastes 5:10, I'm just going to like sprinkle in these verses because there's so many of them. "He who loves money is never satisfied with money." It's hard to know when we love money. So I tried to give you this story of someone in love so that you can realize, like, maybe I think about it a little too much. Maybe it's just affecting my choices a little more than it should. If you were to draw a picture of your brain, how much of it would you shade in that's affected by thoughts about money or worries about money? So the Bible talks about this more than any other topic because it's unavoidable. It's so personal with the shoulds and the shame. And we all have to live in a world that has money. So it's not just like something you can say, "Oh, I'm not going to deal with that ever. I'm just going to cut myself off." We have to have some way to have a healthy relationship with this. I think we're either hyper-focused on our bills or our obligations or our children's expenses or medical. We're either hyper-focused on it and we're trying to solve it and do it all right. Or sometimes that I do where it's like, I'm not going to look. I'm just going to like do what I have to do and figure it out later, which means that we become indebted and enslaved to our previous choices, right? Our finances are controlling us instead of us controlling our finances. Either way, it's stressful, especially coming up to the holidays, and that's what we're going to talk about. We want to have less stress. So one, this is the main point, and this is what I want you to take home. Being wealthy is not having to think about money. Does that sound nice? Being wealthy is not having to think about money. When I say that, what comes to mind? Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Some guy on a yacht just like having $100 bills everywhere, right? He doesn't have to think about money. What comes to mind for me when I think about wealth is not having to think about money. As I think about, I have a picture in my head that I've seen this before, but I see a bunch of kids that are just playing in a sprinkler, right? And they're just enjoying their life. And they're not having to, they're not weighted down with anxiety or stress or worry. Someone else is thinking about that for them. It's already solved. So they may be the poorest or the richest kids in the world, but that doesn't matter. What matters is they're not weighed down by it. It's not on their mind. How can we do that? How can we get to a place, no matter how much money we have, that we feel wealthy because we don't have to think about it? One's life, Luke 12:15, one's life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Okay, this is a practical sermon, has a couple of steps. Step one, capture all of your thoughts and anxieties about money. So what happens to me is I'll be going about my day or my life, and all of a sudden, a thought just pops into my head, and I feel anxious because, like, oh, I owe that person ... or, oh, I'm going to have to pay for a plane ticket, or, oh, I'm going to have to, whatever it is, right? It just pops into your head, and it causes, and, like, you feel like it's attacking you. So instead of letting those things just come at you randomly, we're going to all sit down, and we're going to just put it all on paper. All the things that come to mind, the, like, oh, I've got to do this, or I should do this, or I owe this person this much, we're going to write it all down. First step to not having to think about it is to write it, is to think about it. Right? We write it all down. We're trying to shift out of what Lauren called survival mode into living. You got to be proactive. If you don't want these things to come at you, you have to go to them. So we're going to sit down, we're going to write it all down. We're going to take these things that are floating around, we're going to put them on paper so they don't come at us like little spears. All right. Step two is you have to know what's real, right? That means you might have to do a budget. You might have to write down, what is my income? What are my expenses? What do I owe people? You have to know what's real. But on top of just your income and your expenses, you have to know what's real in your relationships. So a safety net is not just money. A safety net is also the people who love you, the community who loves you. And there are a lot of people who stress and worry about money because they don't have anyone who will catch them if they fall. Right? That is their only security. And so if, when you're writing things down about your income and your expenses, also write down if you feel like you're alone in it. Right? If you feel like there's no one who's going to catch you. And is that true? Because it's very helpful to think about worst case possibility in a stressful situation and say, you know what? If that did happen, I know these people would catch me. Or worst case scenario, I know these people love me. And that is a lot of times, for a lot of people, the role of the church. And so if you sit down and you realize, like, oh, money is stressful for me because I'm all on my own. We are all here as a church, and there are people and resources here to help you. So the first thing is to know what's real and to reach out and to talk to us specifically, like, come talk to me, come talk to Marquette, and tell us, I feel alone in this, and then we will tell you that you're not. Okay? All right, so if you need help coming up with your budget, writing down what your income is or what your expenses are, coming up with all of that, we have really great volunteers who are capable and can sit down with you and talk to you about all of that and make sure that it's adding up. And if it's not adding up, that's a great reason to come talk to us too, because we can figure that out together and make sure that those things are working out. All right, step three. So step one, capture it. Take all the things you're thinking, put them on paper. Step two, you have to figure out what's real. And step three is make a plan. You've got it all laid out. Now, make a plan, especially for the holidays. How much money do you want to spend? How much time do you want to spend? How much do you have to spend? And why? Like, especially around the holidays, money has meaning. So travel cost could mean to family or friends that you do or don't want to connect with them. Food cost is, do you or do you not want to celebrate, right? Because food is celebration for us. Gifts cost, and that could mean love or obligation or something that we need to spend the same amount that these people spend. But it doesn't have to be that way. These things that we desire, this connection and celebration and love, if we sit down and make a plan and come up with some thoughtful ways to connect and celebrate and share our love with people, it doesn't have to cost. We can plan instead of reacting, right? But it does take work, especially this year. So just so you guys know, the supply chain's all wonky. So the most in-demand food and in-demand gifts, they're going to be more expensive and they're going to be harder to find. And it's just not about that. It's about love, connection, and celebration. And we can do those things without having to cause ourselves stress and anxiety. You can spend money, but just make a plan. And then you can be less stressed because you're within what you know that you can spend. So you have almost 2 months, right? We have, if we're planning on Christmas, because Thanksgiving's in there too, but if you're planning for Christmas, we have almost 2 months to sit down and think about how we could be wise in this. So the last reason we want to think about our money is because we really want our money to reflect our values. And I will confess that sometimes my bank account shows that my biggest value is convenience. If you're looking at the way that you spend your money, does it look like it lines up with the things that you say that you think are important, or the things that you actually believe are important? I had Joey read this passage because it talks so much about the way that we should prioritize our time and the spending of our money. It says, show hospitality to strangers. Remember those who are in prison. Trust God, not money. Invest in God's kingdom, not at your earthly kingdom. Do good and share with others, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. When we sit down and make our plan, I will create a little chart for you guys. But when we sit down to make our plan, let's have a part of it that says our values. And make sure that the way that we plan to spend our money lines up with these things that we think are important. So there's a Jewish principle called tithing. And it was, so just listen. There was a Jewish principle called tithing. And it was for them to give what was called first fruits. So in an agriculture economy, the first produce that grew, they would give to God. And it was an act of faith for them because you don't know what's going to grow next, right? For us, like being generous is a little bit easier because typically we know about how much is coming in every month. It's about the same. But for them, it could be different based on the rain, based on the sunshine. And the reason that a lot of Jewish people gave to the temple was because the temple provided a public service. The temple cared for orphans and widows and those without access, or at least it should. Jesus got onto them a lot for not doing that. But the idea of first fruits was that they had to prioritize giving according to their values, because at the end, there might not be anything left, right? So if we aren't looking at our spending and prioritizing the things that we value first, there's always going to be something else that needs to be bought at the end of the month. So, one of the reasons people can get so anxious about it is because there is no, like I said, no social safety net. But this Jewish principle of giving to the temple was to help provide that for other people. And this is not a sales pitch. All of you give faithfully to Edgewood Church. But I just think this is super interesting. But that idea of tithing is still built into our system today. It's the reason that churches are tax exempt, because the government acknowledges that churches should provide a public service and can sometimes give more directly to the people who need it, more efficiently, because we actually know our neighbors, right? And so I just think that's so interesting. But I just wanted you to know that you don't have to be controlled by your money. You don't have to just kind of follow the stream and react, right? We can sit down and we can make a plan, and we should make that plan with our values in our heart at the center of that. Because once we make that plan, especially with everything that can be automated, right? Once we make that plan, we can just set it over here and know that we did the work and go on living our lives, right? We don't have to be constantly reacting and responding, because we want to be living our lives and following what God is prompting us to do, not our wallet, not our pocketbook. Life is more than your possessions, and you are more than a laborer. You are meant to be full of life. So let's work together to take back the reins, and not to be controlled, but to be grateful to God for the blessings that we have, and to pour into each other good things of love and faithfulness and community during this holiday season.